Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Hello, hello, hello. We're ready to get started on another broadcast tonight. And let's just start with a little music. Then we'll go with our scripture and a little prayer, and we're ready to go. God bless you. Wow, wow. I wish we could just all decide that we're going to tell the world. See, it don't matter what beat is behind it, but or who's actually doing it. We all are children of God, and when we want to acknowledge to the world that, you know what, he's done something inside of me. I'm brand new right now. I'm brand new because he's done something inside of me because of what he's done for me. Can you tell him that you was all broke apart? Are you afraid of your testimony? Are you afraid of your own mess that you was in and how he brought you out? Are you afraid of the mire, the mud that you were stuck in, and he put you on a foundation that you are solid? And ain't nothing going to turn you around. Ain't nothing going to change your mind. You know, do you want to tell the world about it? Don't be afraid of where you've been. And don't worry worrying about somebody else coming to tell what you used to be like, what you used to do. You know what? You tell your own testimony, and you don't have to worry about somebody else doing it, all right? Amen? Amen to the word of God. It's good all the time. All right, brother. We appreciate that. Appreciate that. Amen. All right, sister, let's go ahead and do our scripture, and we'll be ready to get into the word for tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Today we are reading Romans 10, verse 9 through 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Again, that is Romans 10, verse 9 through 10.
Amen, amen. So if we confess with a heart, and that's what we invite everyone to do at the end of every broadcast, throughout the broadcast, wherever you want to, just take our time and just confess that we're sinners. Invite Jesus Christ to come and live inside of you. So you can have, you said, I'm in a mess right now. I need something. I want to be able to testify. You know what? This is your opportunity to just go ahead right now. Right now, and just throw your hands up and say, God, I am a mess. I invite you to come and step into my life. Change me. I am a sinner. And I know that you're able to walk with me. Give me direction. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus. I invite you to be my Savior, be my leader. In Jesus' name, amen. Watch him change your life. Watch what he will do. Watch him bring the nearness out of you. He will show you something that you have never experienced before, because that's just who God is. That's just who God is. We're just going to touch just a little bit back on our broadcast from last night as far as our learning to wait. Can you wait? Can you wait on your healing to come through? Or are you just going to give up right now in your mind? And that's a powerful thing, because so many times someone will tell you something, and before you can even start to fight back, the enemy takes control of your mind, and you set in your mind so many, well, what if it does happen? Because it's just human nature for us to start to begin to think, but what if? Let me look at both sides of this coin. But there's so many times that we just have to forget about, you know, don't block out reality, but we have to forget about the thing that's keeping us up all night. If you're looking at both sides of the coins, this may happen in my favor, this may not happen in my favor. But if it gets to the point that you can't sleep, you can't work, you can't concentrate on your day-to-day activities because the enemy keeps throwing that up in your mind, you keep thinking about it. You're seeing the visions of your kids being taken away. You're seeing visions of you losing your job. You're seeing visions of your family never coming back together as one whole. Then you know that that is a trick from the enemy. That is a true sign that you're concentrating on the situation more than you are the one who is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible for God. So at those points, don't beat yourself up. Just recognize what's going on. Confront it head on and go on your knees and give it to the Lord. Take it to the altar, take it to the cross, and say, Jesus, I'm giving this over to you. You know, just speak to him. I can't work, I can't sleep, it's just on my mind, I'm worried about it. I want to trust in you, Father. I want to learn how to wait. I don't want to give up in my mind. I know that's what the situation is, but I want to hold on. I want to be there for my kids. Fathers who's been, for whatever reason, absent out of your kids' lives, and you want to go back, but you feel, oh, they're teenagers now, or they're this age now, and how would I step in? They got a stepfather now. It's not too late. Get back involved.
Don't let all of these things of what if they reject me, what if that doesn't happen. Mothers, return home. Hallelujah. You said, I've been gone from the church for too long. Get back. Stand back up. But the last time I was there, I did so many wrong things. Let God send you to where you need to be, but don't stop pressing on. Don't stop fighting. You know, don't just let somebody, the devil, just punch you constantly in the face. You can wait. Wait it out. And what are we to think when God withholds his answers to our prayers? What are we supposed to be thinking about? Remember, we spoke about David on last evening and how David, you know, it was 16 years from the time that he was appointed through Jesus Christ, through Samuel, that he was going to be king. It was 16 years before that came to pass. You know, what was he doing? He wasn't just sitting around shaking his finger in God's face saying, you know, when is this going to happen? I'm just going to go ahead and start my little kingdom on my own. But he didn't want that kingship until it was his appointed time. In the meantime, he had to wait. In the meantime, he had to keep on doing what he was doing. Hallelujah. He couldn't say, Father, I'm not going back out in those fields any longer. He had to keep on growing. He had to keep on getting strength. Hallelujah. See, most likely you've wondered at some point, as, you know, just creatures stuck within us, it's just a nature, that we can find ourselves ticking away with frustration because we're like, our answer is not coming. We must realize that God doesn't see us simply in the here and now, but he perceives the big picture of all of us, all at once. He looks at the big picture. When we present this question to God, or we ask him for this of God, he just doesn't see where you're at right now, just the here and now and how it would affect you right here and now. But our God is a big God. Stop just putting him in a little box because you feel like you're in a box right now, because your situation has you boxed in. Remember, push, pray until something happens. Don't stop fighting. You can wait. Your problems will be solved through your prayers. You got to be patient. God looks at the big picture. He takes it all in at once. He takes in where we've been. He takes in where we are right now. And he takes in where we're going. And when he calculates all that together, that's when he gives the answer. See, he knows exactly how every little decision, every action, every blessing, he knows how it's going to impact your life. Because when he bless you, your cup will run over. It not just affects you, but your cup will run over to the point that it's touching everything around you, everyone around you. Amen? So all of those around you are going to be affected. So he just doesn't look at where you're at right now. I know, especially when you're in a really deep off into something, we want that answer now, and we want to be pulled up out of this mud and all of this mess. We want to just be snatched up from that right away. We just want to be removed from that situation. We don't want no questions to be asked. We don't want anything else. Just do what you got to do for me right now to get me out of this situation. And it's many times that he says, but the learning process is still going on. Hallelujah. The learning process is still going on. But don't worry, I hear your prayers. But don't worry, I'm still not going to leave you. But don't worry, I'm still giving you my protection. Even while you're in the midst of it, I'm still protecting you. I'm still giving you my love. Just keep concentrating on me. Keep your mind off of what's going on. Keep your mind on me. Do you think God wants to bring something into your life that would absolutely destroy you? Of course not. He knows that what may be a tremendous blessing for you later could completely wreck your life right now. if he gave you everything that you asked for right now? And so for this reason, though the Lord hears your prayers, he often pauses to give you time. Time for what, you may ask? The answer is, he often pauses to give you time to prepare for his blessing. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Because when he wants to bless you, he's not blessing you. It's not the blessing that your neighbor can give you. It's not the blessing that somebody just handing out something. But God blesses you in a big way. He blesses you that blessing will carry you through life, will carry you through the next obstacle that comes your way. So sometimes we're not ready. We're not physically, mentally, spiritually ready. We have to get this old vessel together. We got leaks and holes here, and his blessings will just destroy us. It will just flow out. We got to change some things, lay some things down, get rid of some of that old junk. And then he will pour new wine into these wineskins. We have to be prepared for his blessings. And then we're just learning to wait on God. It demands at least three things of us. And I hear you, somebody saying, here we go. I've always got something to do. Yes, you're always going to have to be actively doing something in your blessings. Faith without works is dead. That works part is the action. You've got to do something. And while you're learning to wait on God, you're waiting on that answer. It demands, and it could be more, but I'm going to give you three things that we must learn to do. First, we must be sensitive to him. That is, we must nurture our relationship with the Father so we can hear him when he says, wait. We got to develop in our relationship in a way with the Father that when he is putting up his pause sign for us, that we see, I need to wait. I don't know why I feel like I shouldn't go any farther at this point, but I shouldn't go any farther. I need to wait. I don't know why I've been excited about getting together with the friends and going to hang out, but tonight God is telling me I shouldn't go. Understandable? I don't know why I shouldn't go through with this divorce proceeding, or whatever it may be, but the Lord is telling me, no, I need to wait. So if we've got that personal relationship strength going on, we will hear from him as he speaks his directions to us. However, if we get caught up in our situations, we're only going to be able to hear the enemy as he tells us more and more and more how you're going down, 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 how you have no hope, fear was set in, and you create more problems. And see, what I'm here to tell you tonight, sisters and brothers, you know, I'm a firm believer that if I learn something, I want to teach something. Amen? So as you go through different situations, and I learned how to get through those, how to solve those problems, and it was through prayer. It was through strengthening my relationship with my Heavenly Father. So I want to share that with you. What needless pain we often bear, all because we do not carry all of this junk, all of this pain, all of this hurt, all of this confusion. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. So you get up and tomorrow you're moving around and you're doing something and it keeps just coming. You keep thinking about it, thinking about it. I said, goodness, I thought I left that. Let me just find out. Let me get somewhere. I need a place. Let me just pull over somewhere safely. I need to close my eyes for a minute, and I need to pray. I need to get this back to him. God, I didn't drop it all off. I got more. I got more. Until we can get that out of your spirit. And that's when you have room to receive what God has for you. So again, first we must be sensitive to him. sensitive to the relationship that we have with him and bring ourselves into a position where we can hear from God. So when he says wait, we hear God saying wait. Second, we must trust his judgment. And we have to get ourselves out of the way. Get what we're used to. We're used to in this world here, we have to fight for everything that we want. But we have to learn to get ourselves out of the way and trust in his judgment. See, does God know more than we do? Yes. Does God know the beginning of the situation and the end? Yes. We quote and say he's the Alpha and the Omega, right? He's the beginning and the end. We got to trust and remember that he knows it. So if you truly believe that God knows more about the situation than we do, then we should trust God. We should trust God. And then the third thing, while we're waiting on God, we're waiting on his answer, the third thing that we need to always make sure that we do, we must be obedient to him. What I'm trying to tell you that if we try to make something happen on our own after God tells us to wait, then we're heading for a disaster. If we try to push our way through his wait sign, we're heading for a disaster. The Lord blesses obedience, even obedient waiting. Waiting, obedient waiting is a part of doing his will, doing what he's asking of you. God doesn't operate just the way that we want him to. He works within our relationships with you on the basis of his omnipresence. He's everywhere. And never forget, he's actually walking with you. I feel like someone is really getting this. It's really sinking in. Someone is deciding that I'm going to try this. Hallelujah. Even when he withholds the answer to your prayers, it doesn't mean that he's not there. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he's not going to answer you. And it truly doesn't mean that he's not going to bring you through. He's going to deliver you, sister. He's going to bring you out of that bondage, my brother. It means that he's looking out for you even more. It means that he's just giving you a little time to prepare for the blessing. The best is yet to come. And again, we was looking back as far as the cultural that we live in and in today's time. And you can agree with me that the cultural emphasizes on self, S-E-L-F. It's bred a prayer crisis. Too many believers focus on the problem or instead of the solution. Instead of making God the center of their attention, they're telling everyone. You see the same sisters and brothers get up and testify get up for prayer and ask for prayer every opportunity that they have. And it's the same thing over again. And if you look at the way that they're speaking and their tone that they're giving us, none of their prayers are ever getting answered. Because every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday, it's the same prayer request. They're still asking for that same one. They're still telling you, I still can't sleep at night. My nerves is all messed up. I'm trying to get medicine from the doctor. Because even as a believer, are you really believing? Are you going to be Christ-like in this situation? Their focus is so on their problem and how the outcome may come out that they don't take out time to put God as the center of their attention. 2 Chronicles 20 shows us a better way. He was talking about King Jehoshaphat faced a dire situation. It was a great multitude approaching quickly to overthrow him. Open your Bibles and read it. And if he had wrung his hands and just wailed instead of concentrating on God's promises and past provisions, Jerusalem might have been wiped out. They might not have been successful. That's what the enemies wanted at that time. That was their intent. But he had to concentrate on God's directions. He couldn't just get all carried away in the situation at hand, even though they was all around him. See, the king magnified the Lord's greatness, recalling for himself and his people many divine triumphs. He had many triumphs. Not just him, we spoke about what? The cup running over. So his people all around him were able to experience the triumphs over their enemies. And that way he was able to take out the enemies and lift up the Israelites and prepare them for whatever situation that God proposed. Whatever situation that they was in, they prepared them that we're going to do the same thing. Same thing that got us out of this one is going to get us out of the next one. See, through the words of his powerful entreaty, Jehoshaphat revealed his firm belief that no problem, not even a fast approaching murderous army is bigger than the Lord of the universe. See, the Israelites' army was powerless against such an onslaught, but the king refused to give in to his initial fear. Because it's just natural for fear to just, whoa, their reaction to you. But you got to refuse to give in to that initial fear. I know you look around you and you say, I'm powerless compared to all of this that's getting ready to fall down on me. I'm powerless to the situation. But you got to know that God is bigger than any situation. You got to believe that. You got to believe that not even a fast approaching murderous army coming against you is bigger than your God, because he's the Lord of this universe that you are a part in. Hallelujah. You've got tears to give in to despair. Our eyes are on you. People watching the way that you are responding. Hallelujah. So we might as well take our eyes and watch God. Keep our eyes on God. We know that you have a plan, God, and we're waiting to hear what you want us to do. Seeking the Lord's will and seeking his best way is a priority for those who want to solve problems through prayer. I remind you to rate the show, make sure you leave comments. I remind you to download the show, carry it with you, and grow from it. You should see yourself growing. If you're a regular participant of the program, you should see yourself growing. You shouldn't be stagnant. Don't be afraid to reach out. Ask for answers to any questions you may have. Again, I am Von Dumas. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Let's continue on, shall we? God doesn't want us to pray casually. God doesn't want us to pray casually. Example, Lord, please solve my problem. Amen. Lord, please help me. Amen. I see you in the 404 area code. God bless you. God doesn't want us to pray casually to him. And then we rush into our day or we rush on about whatever we got to do, thinking that we've done well
to unload our difficulties onto him. But if he's going to solve a problem, we should have our ears and our minds open to receive his answer. We got to have our heart ready to obey. We got to have our minds set and ready to go as he say go, move as he say move. Amen? We've got to be active participants as we're waiting, as we wait on this journey. And then we got to be ready, prepared for the answer. We have to be ready and prepared for that answer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to just learn from you today, to just love on you today, to just be a part of your word today. And we ask you to bless each and every family, each and every home. I have a little reading. I just want to read a little short thing that someone had sent. And I just want to, it was just ironic that someone sent it to me in an email. And then one of my friends on Facebook had posted it also. And I just said, you know what, God, I just want to read that to the people. Before I do, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, someone that you can call on, someone that you can trust in, someone that you can take all of your problems to and leave them there. There is someone like that. You said, I don't find anyone that I can just talk to. It's hard for me to find anyone that I can just lay down all of my problems. I can just be clean. I don't have to be no celebrity name. I don't have to be that person. I don't have to be the heroic mom. I don't have to be the most powerful dad. But I can just be a child of God. I can just open up and just release. God, here's where I'm feeling. I don't have to be embarrassed. I can say, God, here's my issues. Whew. Father, thank you that I can bring them to you. I don't have to be thinking all casual. I can just tell him everything it is. I can lay down my issues, lay down my problems, and know that God is going to take care of them. Know that the answer is there, and all now I got to be in a prepare myself to wait. Amen? Amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're ready to take that step, I invite you to just open up your hearts and just repeat after me. Repeat after me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit, I come tonight. I come because I accept you as my Lord, as my Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me, that he shed his blood for me. And on that cross, every drop of blood that was shed was to cover my sins, was to bring me back into relationship with God. I confess that I am a sinner. And I need you, Lord. I need you to tell me what to do. I need you to direct me how to get out of my situations of life. I will trust you. Help me trust you, God. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. Life has me bound down. But I thank you for releasing my shackles, your mercy, your grace. In Jesus' name, I'll follow you. I'll serve you. I will obey you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's something to shout about. It's something to get excited about. And I encourage you to reach out to someone. Let them know. It's God has people in your corner waiting for you. Waiting for you. He's waiting to help you. He's waiting to bring you through. He's waiting to just show you all the new things that he has prepared for you. So it's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. Hallelujah. If you need any kind of materials, you're going to need your Bible. You're going to need your sword. You're going to need to be at the right church. You need to be at a church that's preaching the Word of God from the Bible. You need to be at a church that has your back. And where you're at is where you're going to grow. And that may not be where you've always been going every Sunday. God may have somewhere else for you to go. So I beg of you to please don't just settle with just saying, okay, I'm just going to continue to do what I've been doing, and I'm going to continue to hang out at the places I've been hanging out with the same friends that I've been hanging out with. It doesn't work that way. Because, see, if a dog is sitting in the midst of fleas, he's going to be in terrible pain. But if I come and rescue him and take him out of there, and I take him to the vet and they do all the things they need to do, and I get him in a perfect health now, unless I remove him or keep him removed from that situation, that environment, then it's not going to do him any good. It would just be a constant thing coming back and forth to the vet. So if I set him back in that midst of fleas, he's going to be hurting again. He's going to be bit over and over and over again. So you can't continue to hang out and go to the bars with those same group of people. You say, but they're my family. I have no one else. That's why God has someone for you. God has someone for you. You don't have to try to figure it out. God has already worked it out. God has already worked out your problems. God has already worked it out for you. Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also call at 210-253-9093. God bless you, each and every one of you. May you have a wonderful night. I want to go ahead and close with this little reading, just reminding us that we need the Lord. We all need the Lord. It's not something just for some. It's for everybody. And it says, a man of 32 years was smoking. While smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke into the air and said, God, that's for you. He died at the age of 32 of lung cancer in a horrible manner. The next one, the man who built the Titanic. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him how safe the Titanic would be. With an ironic tone, he said, not even God can sink it. And, of course, the results, I think you all know what happened to the Titanic. The next one, the actress Marilyn Monroe. She was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation of a show. And he said, the Spirit of God has sent me to preach to you. And after hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, I don't need you, Jesus. A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. Just a couple more here. Singer Bon Scott, he's an ex-vocalist of the AC/DC. On one of his 1979 songs, he sang, Don't Stop Me, I'm Going Down All the Way, Down the Highway to Hell. And on the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had been choked by his own vomit. In Brazil, it was a group of friends, drunk. They went to pick up another friend. And the mother accompanied her daughter to the car, and she was very worried about the drunkenness of her friends. And she said to her daughter, as she was holding her hand, who was already had got seated in the car, she told her daughter, she said, well, go with God, and may he protect you. The daughter responded and said, only if God can travel in the trunk, because inside here, inside the car, it's already full in here. We don't have any more room for anyone else in here. So if God is going to go with us, he's going to have to get in the trunk. Hours later, news came by that they had been involved in a fatal accident, and everyone had died. The car could not be recognized, what type of car it had been. But surprisingly, the trunk was intact. The police said that there was no way that the trunk could have remained intact. It was beyond their thought pattern. They couldn't understand it. How could the trunk, after this harbor accident, still be totally intact? And even more surprised, inside of the trunk was a crate of eggs, and none of those eggs were broken. None of those eggs were broken. God is where you want him to be. If you invite God to come and live inside of your heart, God will protect your heart. God will protect you as you walk up and down just your daily street. God will protect you. If you decide in your heart, is your decision, and if you decide to leave God out of your life, then you can believe you're on your own and you have no way of protecting yourself. Our last one, hallelujah, and God bless us all. It was June 2006. It showed that it was a reporter, a Jamaican journalist and entertainer, Christine Hewitt. She had said publicly, she said, the Bible, the Word of God, was the worst book ever written. 2006, she was found burnt beyond recognition in her own motor vehicle. See, many more times in life, too, people forget and have forgotten that there is no other name that was given so much authority than the name of Jesus. Many have died, but only Jesus Christ rose again. Only Jesus Christ is still alive. And he's willing to come be with you. He wants to be in your situation. Only Jesus Christ. We try to put so many other things in the place, and none of that matters. None of that matters. It's only he can step up and give us what it is that we need. Hallelujah. I invite you to just accept Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. We'll see you next time. We love you, but God loves you more. Amen.